Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I heard Cheryl singing that song this morning. I said, you've got to do that to go with this morning's message. It's a good song. Speaks volume to us. If you will, turn with me to Judges chapter 3. And when you get there, please stand for the reading of the Word. Judges chapter 3. Whoops. Judges chapter 3. And we'll take the last verse in that chapter, verse number 31. And the word of the Lord says, "And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel." You may be seated. The thought that I had, and I guess when we read a little spaces like that, I'm sure we've all read Judges 100 times and that's never really stepped out. And the thing that got me is in Judges, I guess one thing that you see more than anything is Judges is pretty much a book about chaos. A book because we know that it says time and time again, because there was no king in the land, every man done that which was right in his own eyes. And today I really believe that everybody, because we sing about it over and over and over in our songs, we all know and we all have Jesus as Savior and friend. But is He King? Is He an authority in our lives that we will yield to even on the things we really don't want to? Or do we keep Him as Savior and friend, and because there's no visible authority, no audible king to tell us, we do what is right in our own eyes? Do we take and form him into somebody that's manageable? And because he's manageable, he's able to be put on the back burner. He's able to be pushed aside. And the thought that I had for this morning's message is against all odds, because odds are that we'll do that. We don't like to hear that, but odds are we'll do that. Come time to pray, if somebody comes over, do we invite them to go ahead and pray with us and read with us? Or do we just stop what we're doing, put God to the back burner, and give them our attention? How many of us on our way home hear a message or something on the radio, and when we get home, we're going to read, we're going to pray, we're going to visit time with God, but then life interrupts it and just steals it all away from us? So, do we really understand that the odds of us being able to rise up to the spiritual person that I believe each and every one of us wants to be is against us? There's a world out there that does nothing better than to just punch in and life steal away a lot of your spiritual plans. Now, if we plan to go on vacation, we go. We make reservations, we go. Car breaks down, we get one fixed, or we rent one. When our mind is set on something, we will take everything that we humanly can and direct it towards that and make it happen. Last year, me and Robbie was hunting. Hadn't done very well. Storm, and I mean raining like crazy. Would never hunt out in that. Ain't no way, shape, nor form. But because we were hunting and we hadn't done nothing, you know where I found myself? Sitting out in the rain that I never would. When the desire for that thing, me and Carly was talking last Thursday, I went hunting, 7 degrees. My desire to have or to do what my goal was made me set aside. Normally, I wouldn't go out. We need something from the store, we'll wait till the weather warms up. We need to do this or that, we'll wait till it gets a little warmer. But when we have that drive so down in us, we don't care what the odds are, we're going to go against them. And this morning, what I want you to do is to see that even though the odds may be stacked against you, you can beat the odds. A horse that has odds favorites, that's probably the most important, or the easiest recognizable. A horse racing, they put odds on the horse. And the horse's odds are based on his ability to win. The more he loses, the lower his odds go. The more he wins, the more it goes up. Do you realize that a horse's odds and his valuableness to his owner changes with, listen, every single race that he's in? That ought to make us just shout with joy right there. Because every time your eyes open up in the morning, you are in a race. And the odds of you making it can change with the opening of your eyes. Be first out of the gate and stay in stride. There's things that's going to get in your way. Go around them. Shamgar done one thing. Well, I was able to figure out about three things that I really seen that he done in that little bitty verse. It says, "And after him was Shamgar the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad." Now, do we know what an ox goad is? An ox goad is kind of like a little spear that a farmer would have, and it had a paddle on one end of it to either move the droppings or the dung or whatever you want to call it out of the way. Or if they're plowing, they would take that little paddle and get the root up or the rock up, get it loose so next time it hits the plow, don't knock it sideways. On the other end was a little point. So whenever the ox quit, he'd go. He'd poke him in the back end with that spear and he'd go. So that's all he had was just that. From that we can see that he was a farmer. But he done something. When we see the vastness of him overcoming 600 men. Now, if we seen that starting today, how many of us would say the odds are against him? We really can't even figure out how something like that would happen. But hopefully by the end of the day, I want to open up your eyes to look at into maybe Shamgar's life and we'd be able to see something just a little bit different. Shamgar done one thing. He started where he was. Too many times in all of our life's goals and everything that we plan, we catch ourselves saying, "Boy, Rick, if I had $1 million, I'd build us a church. If I had $1 million, I'd give $150,000. Wouldn't you?" And straight away, when I started to think about that, the Holy Spirit said, "But that's because you're willing to do that out of your abundance. But would you be willing to give $10 if you had $15? And if I won't work with $4.79, I won't work with $1 million. I know we can think in our mind, give me the check and I'll prove it. Because they give you the $1 million check and say, "Here you go, Rick." And then Uncle Sam behind you say, "Half that's mine, buddy." Now, wait a minute, now I only got $500,000. And the church is going to get 100? And I know I said 150, but come on now. God only requires 10%, right? So we start scaling back as we see our abundance go. Why was the widow blessed more than all that give? Because she gave not out of somebody else's, but her own necessity. When we give to God, and I'm not get money out of your mind. Time. That's the only way you're going to prosper in God is your time. You can't purchase it. Carly, you can't write me a check for $1,000 and prosper in your spiritual life with God. It takes time. If we could, we know we have examples in the Bible of people that tried to purchase the Holy Spirit and it didn't happen. You cannot purchase it. It's going to take something very valuable in your time. Odds are everything else in your life is biding for that time. Automatically, the first thing, the man comes up and he says, "Rick, you're working 40 hours a week. There's 40 hours of his life taken out. If he sleeps pretty regular, probably another 50 or better, there's another 50 taken out of his life. So now the abundance of time, how many of us have started out on vacation or 2 or 3 days off in a row, and I'm going to have some time to get alone with God, and I'm going to read, and I'm going to draw closer, and your days are rolled, wham, 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 and it's gone. Odds are, it's not going to happen. We desire it to, But the odds are it's not going to happen. You will never, never be able to get to where you want to go if you do not start where you're at. Shamgar didn't walk around and say, well, if I had an army and I was a general and I had a catapult and I had some bows and I had some arrows and I had some spears and some shit, if I had all this, then I'd go after them Philistines. And we can sit and say, well, Robbie, if I had a better job, I'd have me a brand new truck because I could just afford anything. Or if I had this, I would have this. Or if I, what do you have now? The big, humble, pie-in-the-sky dream needs to go away for a minute and let reality come in and see, what do you have now? Work with what you have, then God can bless with what you're doing. But if all I do is sit down and say, well, one day, Kay, one day when Ed McMahon shows up in my driveway, then I'll be able to do so. One day when Lowe's will just split stocks four times in 1 week, then I'll be able to. One day, whenever I'm able to mail out 400 CDs at one time, then I'll start recording. One day, whenever I have my very own television camera and on my very own show, then sure, we'll start doing television. One day, when I do, and if all we do is sit around and talk about one day, we'll never come. Let me give you one little piece if you don't take nothing else from this morning. The odds will rob your faith. Odds will take every bit of your faith away from you. Odds will look at you and they'll say, Vicky, why are you even trying? People like you, Eric, don't make it that way. You're just always going to be. And we will get that mentality to where when we sit down and a little problem arises, we'll agree with it and say, yep, I guess that's just the way it's always going to be. That's me. That's my life. Day in. Change it. Start where you're at with the hand that has been dealt with you and use what you have to change the world around you. You're not going to change the world first and then impact what's around you. You're going to impact what's around you first. Jesus didn't start his ministry and say, well, John, I'll tell you what, if I had 12 people here today, I'd go into the wilderness and start preaching. He took his ministry. He went where he needed. He dealt with what he had. What he had was nothing. And then one at a time, he would influence people. And then he influenced 12 to follow him. And now it influences the world. Yeah, but what if I don't have something? Fill in the blank. Sam said it was strange being up here. Never did that before. Well, he can't say that no more. Next time he can say, well, I only did this one other time. And then by the time we get up here and I say, it's strange being up here, y'all. I've only done this 784,962 times. It gets kind of boring hearing it, don't it? So when you got that in your pocket, experience is the best thing. But if you never, listen, if you never do anything, young folk, hear me. If you never do anything, you will never experience anything. Guarantee it. If we put a chair back there and we set Tony in it and all of us left and he lived in that corner the rest of his life, he'd never experience anything. But the simple fact that he might be willing to get up out of the chair and go outside, odds are things are going to change. Notice, as long as he stayed here, odds were nothing to change. When he goes outside, odds are what? They change with his movement. Do we see that? Second thing that I seen that he did, he started with what he had, an ox golem. That's all he had. How can one man with one little ox goad defeat 600 Philistines? How can he do that? I might as well just set it down and not do nothing because that's all I got. And there's so many. How do you do... there's a little cartoon I seen one time, and I don't know, maybe it's an old saying, maybe everybody knows it. And he's little natives are out and they're all going to go hunting. And they're all out chasing these impalas and they're running around. And there's an elephant standing over. So the little guy comes over and he just stabs the elephant and it falls down. And a guy comes up to him and he says, "How are you going to eat that elephant?" He scratches his head and he said, "One bite at a time." That's how you're going to change your life. Don't look for everything to change around you overnight. One bite at a time. One situation at a time. One step at a time. One week at a time. One day, one hour, one minute will start to change when you enter that race. The odds change with 1 minute. That quick. Yeah, there's something else I can do, but I'm going to pray before I do it. I learned something new. I'm going to share some personal stuff, okay? I do the grocery... I get her nervous when I do that. I do the grocery shopping. And I don't know how many people here... I want to see the hands of the grocery shoppers. Okay, how many know things are getting expensive? You know what I learned? Before I go, I pull out my grocery list. I said, "God, you know what I need. Make it cheap. Make it available." And I went in half-hearted, faithfully, and I didn't get nothing but Cheryl's yogurt was the only thing that was on sale. Half-hearted faith gets half-hearted results. But I thought, wait a minute. If God can do this with yogurt, where's the limit? So now I'm believing every... That's crazy. They priced this stuff early that morning. You think God don't see my tomorrows? But it takes my faith to activate what God has planned for me. Let me say that again. It takes faith to activate what God has planned for me. But the odds are nothing's going to be cheap. If I go in and found her yogurt on sale, I just changed the odds. So now I'm looking for bread, I'm looking for eggs, I'm looking for silk, I'm looking for Uncle Sam, I'm looking for meat. Everything that I need on my list can be on sale. Do you believe that? If you can believe that for me, then believe that for yourself. Use what you have. Every man is dealt a measure of faith. Now let me get my numbers right because I was reading about wheat. Let me find where it's at. Okay, if you put 1 grain of wheat in the ground, it will grow 1 stalk. That's easy, right? On that 1 stalk will be 3 heads. Each head holds 15 to 35 seeds. Cut that job down and eat it and get it right then. That's where we make our mistake. Because then if we would take those 100 seeds and put them in the ground, they will yield 10,000 stalks. And then the math keeps going, do you see? You start with what you had. Debbie, you may only see 1 seed. But God sees a loaf of bread in your future. But if all we do is carry our 1 seed and we let doubt and fear come in and take the odds back in their favor and say, "Debbie, don't put your seed in the ground. What if a drought hits? What if the bird hits it? What if a flood gets it? What if Robbie comes and steals it from you?" Then you won't have. Don't let fear, don't let the odds steal your faith. Because it's a seed's natural response to the soil when it's put in there is to open up as soon as the sun shines on it.
Mm-hmm. The sun, S-O-N.
And a little bit of water, and its response is to open up. They can't stop seeds from opening up. And your faith, listen, hear me, your faith being that seed, when planted, when the S-O-N shines on it, and the water of the Word, the moisture of the Spirit, the wetness of the anointing begins to hit it, your faith will grow. Odds are you won't be allowed to do that. Because there's faith thieves out there to steal it. They like nothing better than for you and you and you and you and you to just sit in your chair and don't do nothing else. Don't believe nothing else. You can't do nothing else. How many of you have done something that you never thought that you'd ever do? I tell you, the first time that I preached out at Randy's, he gave me 7 cassettes, Carly. He said, "Here you go." I'm like, "What do you want me to? What do you want me to do with them? 7? What could I do with 7? Now the mailing list has grown to 75. Well, we had what, a 15-minute spot on a television show, 15-minute spot. I could say, "No, I can't be on your show because I don't have one of my own yet." As soon as I get there, then we can. I thought, 15 minutes is 15 minutes. I'll take it. Well, then we got our own show. God bless that. Praise the Lord. But our time was Thursday night at 1 o'clock in the morning. Who's going to be watching? My first response, Vicki, who's going to be watching at that time? And the Holy Spirit said, "Just be faithful with what you have." When a few weeks later, then we got to choose whatever time we wanted. It's on Sunday morning. I mean, it's on Sundays at 3 now. Got a lot of people that view. That's the extent. I am able, through the goodness of God, we can minister to Louisville and Southern Indiana. I know what prophecy was given to me, but man, this is big, brother. I mean, this is Southern Indiana and Louisville. Here comes a little guy. Well, not Luke. Here comes a tall, skinny guy. He says, "Why don't you give me a couple of them DVDs and let me work on that and see if we can't get that on the internet?" Odds are I couldn't get it on the internet. Good odds I wouldn't be able to. Vicki calls me and asks me stuff on our computer to do this, do this, do this. Oh, never mind. I don't even know what I did. Can I get back out of this now? Sure, go over here and just right click. But we see the odds was against that happening. And then Brian pops in the door one day and he says, "Ron!" And we done got, what was it, 67 people view. Odds are that would never happen. But if you will use what you have, no one of us is any more important or any more special than the other one. But you'll never have a changed life until you start to change the moment that you're living in. That moment must be changed first. Then, Eric, it will change. All of the odds will start coming in your favor. Isn't that what happens to that horse? The horse that never wins can be a 50-1. But when he places even halfway up in the pack, things change. He didn't win. How can they change? Because the odds of him winning just got better. So he used what he had. What God has given you. He started where he was at. He used what he had. And then he done something else. He done exactly what he could. Now, how can one man, and again, Rick was shaking his head. I'll preach over here for you for a while, brother. How can one man whip 600 Philistines with one spear? Now, first thing I think is he got his back up against the rock and he's just poking and they're just falling. But you know, if he's poking and they're falling, they're going to stack up. And this is my way of putting it. This is my commentary. I thought, now wait a minute. That would be just so many. And then I went back to my little elephant cartoon. It says he killed 600. Didn't say he killed 600 at one time. Now see, over in chapter 5, if you flip over there, something had happened in chapter 5, verse number 6. Chapter 5, verse number 6 says, "And in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways." Things has gotten so evil and so corrupt that people just didn't find it very safe to walk in the old paths. Because there was many, if I can use Vicki's word, because there's many challenges on the old path, we'll just take another route. I mean, we're still going to the city eventually. It's harder for us to get there. It's longer for us to get there. But we're still going, so what's it matter? Look, folks, there's going to be challenges. Shamgar did not let the fact that there was challenges shut him out of the old path. He was going to walk in the old path. He was going to do what needed to be done, because the odds are he's not going to be able to defeat the Philistines, right? Rick, three of them come, one ox gold, three of them on the ground. Done with them. Two more come over here. Two more on the ground. Here's another one. We'll put him on the ground. Well, he looks back and he goes, wait a minute. I thought I couldn't defeat my enemy, but I see the evidence laying on the ground that they're falling at my feet. Maybe God is with me and the odds really don't matter. Shamgar, his name means one who listens. He listened to what God told him, followed that direction. We need to listen to God and quit letting people define who we are. According to family, I shouldn't be here. When I was younger, because they're here, I'm not going to give any names, but I shared. I said, you know, I feel something, a calling on my life, but I'm not sure. And they said, well, just, you know, follow after God and you know, see what you can find. And after I told them that, let me tell you this. After I told them that, because I wouldn't hop in my car and go where they wanted me to go and take them and come back home, you call yourself a preacher. You ain't ever going to make it with that kind of attitude. Family and friends and problems will take and try to define who you are, and therefore you will never be able to step out if you listen to them. But if you listen to God and who He says you can be, sissy, somebody tell me, where is the limit to what God can do with any one person sitting in this sanctuary? There's no limit. If you listen, why can God make us so successful against such odds that are against us? Because He sees our tomorrow. He knows what He has planned for you. And I know He is able to keep what I have entrusted to Him. Does that mean everything works out just the way I want it to? No, it don't. Does it mean there's a possibility that it could? Absolutely. And it's that I hold on to. It's that I see. Look beyond our moment right now. Odds are, Sarah, you ain't going to make it. You ain't going to make it through college. You ain't going to make it through this. You ain't going to make it through that. Look, let me talk to you for a minute. How many things have you been through? How many problems have you had? It's just the same thing all the time. Sarah, you know, it's meant for some Christians to have it all, but it just ain't meant for you. It's just the way it's always going to be. How many of us have that conversation? And if you throw up your hands and quit, you know what? That's the way it's always going to be. But the first time that you will step out of what you've been told and grab a hold of what's been said, already recorded in history, God knew us from the womb, correct? So if you will grab a hold of that, things will change. You can't should be something you never listen to. Now we're talking about spiritual matters. Develop that spiritual matter, and don't let others define who you are. How many of us here has had friends? I want you to look around so you can see what kind of company you're with. How many of us has the same friend today that you had in the first grade? Boy, them odds changed. How many of you have the same friends that you had in high school? How many of you have the same friends that you had since you've been saved? Notice how the odds kind of go down. Things are going to change. Relationships are going to come. Some are going to go. But is it a true friend if I look at you and say, Ray, because you're believing that, I just can't hang out with you? Is that a true friend? There's folks that are going to be changed. There's relationships that's going to change. But the odds are you're going to find another one. I lost two really good friends when I got saved. But look what I got. Odds are you ain't supposed to. You're supposed to have one lifelong friend that you can confide everything in, and they'll be friends forever, and you'll have sharing, you'll have matching coffee cups, and y'all can share a coffee cup together, and y'all can buy each other, this is my friend, and buy all of this stuff, and it's just going to be forever. Hang up pictures of each other all over your house. That's just the way it's going to be, right? Okay, reality. You buy the coffee cup, and you never see them again. But God is able to send you another relationship. Now, since you've been saved, how many of you have met new people that you have friendships with? And how many of you have met people that you have friendships with that have impacted your life and helped you to grow spiritually? If all we done was just continually, and I know you love this, but you can't do this, but give Debbie chocolate and soda pops every day, what would happen? Even though you love chocolate, believe it or not, you get sick of it. But she needs the other stuff. So Robbie comes home with a bag of hamburgers and says, here we go, we're going to eat these today. Believe it or not, even though she's had chocolate all her life, she'd be glad to see a hamburger. Be glad when God sends somebody into your life. Now I'm going to ask y'all, can I share something personal with y'all about us and y'all? Debbie says, go ahead, Robbie. Says, I don't know, what's it going to be? Cheryl would come home and she would say, you know that one couple that was at church? I didn't pay no attention. And I said, well, yeah, there was a lot. She said, well, we're going to go over there and we're going to visit with them. I used to hate that. Pam and David Nelson, some of y'all know them. Same way with them. I used to be terrible. I want to be by myself, left alone. Nobody say nothing. I don't know what happened. God just blessed me. I put the seed of conversation in the ground and it sprouted. Well, she kept saying, we're going to. Well, you know, as long as you're going to, that's okay because you ain't doing it. And then she'd come home after church one day, she said, I talked to Debbie and we're going to go over there for dinner. And I was like, I don't even know Robbie. I didn't even spoke five words to him. What are we going to ever talk about? What are we ever going to do? But by planting a seed, God was able to change how I was. Now me and Robbie could have both sat out there on the porch and just went. Man. Could you imagine doing that for the last 10 years? And Sarah performing for us. Can I tell that too? Odds are y'all don't know this. Well, y'all may know this. Me and Robbie sitting out there talking. Sarah about this big. She come praying up through there. Y'all watch me. And she performed for us a little song and dance. I got caught looking at Kim. Don't look at her. Watch me. But see, I would never have any memories of that if I said no. All my life I've been told by those around me, this is who you are, this is what you are, stay here. Because I would have told Cheryl, I know you like to visit. I know you like to fellowship. See, God used this whetstone to sharpen me a little bit, to take my rough edges off. And say, Cheryl, sorry, we can't visit nobody because I don't do that. That's not me. And you'd never create a relationship. You'd never have a memory. You'd never be able to move into those things. So Shamgar was able, against all odds, 600-1. Those are pretty bad odds. Matter of fact, if I said, Rick, give me $20,000, I got a hot stock. 600-1, it's going to go bankrupt. But it doesn't matter what the odds are if God is in your favor. Don't wait for someday to start to change your life. Young folks, start changing now, today. What is at hand? Don't look at the end result right now. Look at where you're at and how you're going to get there. There's no magic thing that's going to come up in your life, sissy, and pick you up and set you all the way over here in your dream world. It don't happen. Old folks and adults and those who don't want to say they're old, tell her, life is forever. You live it every day. There's no magic little dwarf going to come along and say, praying, Tiffany, go over there. And everything's great. But you can see your greatness. You can dream of your greatness just like he dreamed of freedom. And those, even though there was 600 challenges, 600 blocks, 600 people to find him. No, you're not. That is not you. You are here. This is what you're going to do. This is where you're always going to be. And we're always going to be over top of you. That is not so. Go against the odds because you got one thing in your favor that defeats all odds. And that's God. Do we need to go through the Bible to show all of the odds that God defeated? What is the odds of a virgin giving birth? What's the odds of a man walking on water? What is the odds of one man and 12 people changing the face of the world? What is the odds of fire coming from heaven? What is the odds of two of every creature being on a boat while the whole world's flooded? What is the odds of there actually just being two people in the beginning? Everybody, listen. Young folk, hear me. Everybody in this Bible was just a person. And the ones that stepped out was the ones who listened to what God said and did what God asked them to do. It's in you. The odds may be against you, but we don't care about odds. And when somebody says you ain't going to make it, Wayne, now you can say, odds are I'm not, but according to my God, it's in the bag. It's in the bag. I win. Win, lose, or draw, you still win. Eric, you come out ahead, buddy. You win. Every day that you live through your Christianity, you win. When you make it from daylight to dark, and you haven't sinned, and you haven't backslid, and you hadn't walked away from God, you win. You just put another odd in your pocket. Those things will change. But not if you stay where you're at. I'm done.